Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Gail Monicum. Welcome, Gail. I am thrilled to have you joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Gloria.
You've listened to some of these, and so you know we do start at the beginning. And I'm pretty sure you were not born in Oregon, so where were you born?
I was born in Wichita, Kansas.
Was that a home area for your family, or what were your parents doing there?
So after my parents graduated from Heston College, they started a small mission church in Wichita. And so I was the third of four daughters that were born to them there in Kansas. And so that's how we came to be there.
And were you there for any length of time, or did you grow up elsewhere?
We moved in 1967 to Elkhart, Indiana. My dad at Heston at the time, they only had kind of a biblical studies level program, and he wanted to go to seminary. So we moved to Elkhart so he could take a 2-year course of study there at the Associated Biblical Seminary. And then after that, 2 years later, in 1969, we moved to outside of Cleveland, Ohio, Bedford Heights, Ohio. My dad pastored a church there for many years.
So how old were you when you actually moved to Indiana?
Not quite 7.
So you do have some memory of life in Kansas?
A little bit here and there, kind of the yard, kind of the area where we would play, and, you know, weather events that happen in Kansas. We lived fairly close to the airport in Wichita. And I can remember at the time, I guess sonic booms were not outlawed in city limits. And so I can remember a few sonic booms, which were quite loud and, of course, rattled the windows in the house. And
so you were what we call a PK.
Yes, that's true.
As was I. And for those who don't know what that is, it's a preacher's kid. It sounds like you mostly grew up in Ohio.
Yeah, from fourth grade on, I was in Ohio. So 8 years were in Ohio. And then I moved on from there to Goshen College. And then from there, after college, about 6 months later, I got married and moved to Salt Lake City, then to Columbus, Ohio, and then to Portland, Oregon, eventually.
Okay, so we're going to back up and talk a little bit about your childhood in Ohio. Did you live right in a city? Was it a village? Was it a town, the country?
Yeah, Bedford is actually just a suburb of Cleveland, southeast side of Cleveland. My parents were always involved in kind of urban settings for pastoral responsibilities. And so, yeah, it was right in the city. Our street was a little unique in that it was kind of situated such that it was cut off from other parts of that little area. I don't know how to describe it very well, other than it'd be kind of like part of 82nd was on one side, and the other side of it was considered a different town. It was like Maple Heights is one height and Bedford Heights is the other. So we didn't cross that main street to go play with any kids across that street. And on the other end of the street was where they just put in a new freeway. And so it was kind of a 2 blocks long street. So there are 2 streets that were like that. So there are all those kids played together. There are tons of kids on the street. We lived in the parsonage. And so between our house and the church, there was a huge field, 3-acre field. And on that field was a ball diamond. So a lot of games were played on that ball diamond. Somehow, of course, the pastor's family was responsible for keeping the grass mowed. So we did a lot of sitting on a slow putt-putt riding lawnmower, but it didn't go very fast. It took about 3 hours to mow that grass.
You mentioned that you were the third of four girls.
Yes.
What's the age span of your siblings?
So there's 9 years between the four of us. My oldest sister is 7 years older than my next sister, is almost 4. And then I have a sister that's a tag along. We're about 18 months apart.
So even though you were girls, you had to go out and help mow the lawn and do those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. There was no division of labor based on gender in my family. Even my dad was ahead of his time. His day off was Monday, and it was not uncommon for me to come home on a Monday, and he would have waxed the floor, kitchen floor, back in the days when you waxed floors, or he would have cleaned out the refrigerator, or he participated in household chores. That was not uncommon for him. I'm not sure where he learned it or decided that it was his duty, but that's what he did.
Was he a full-time pastor, or did he have another job as well?
No, he was full-time. He was full-time.
And during those growing up years, was your mother working outside the home?
She went back to school actually just shortly after I was born to get her bachelor's degree from Friends University in Wichita. And then once we moved to Ohio, she worked part-time and got her master's from Case Western University. So she has a master in library science. Then she was in school programs after that. Yeah, she worked full-time for the majority of my growing up years. So we always had responsibilities. So, you know, we would get supper started. We did dishes. Although I will say my younger sister and I, we got to play cards for the dishes, so to speak. My parents liked to play Dutch Blitz. And so we would, Renee and I would partner up against them. And if we won the game, then Dad would do the dishes and we got out of it. So my proficiency at Dutch Blitz was pretty high back in those days.
That's good to know, just before we have church retreat in a couple of weeks. So was your mother a librarian in schools?
Yes. Now, towards the end of her career, they were calling it media specialist because computers were coming in and things were changing. But I can remember her bringing home, you know, trays of cards that you had to file and get cards organized. And so alphabetizing things was always been the way I get myself organized, because I learned that from a young child on up.
And is it safe to say that you always went to public school?
I did. My older sisters did not. When we were in Elkhart, my oldest sister went to Bethany for 1 year, Bethany Christian High School. And then very last minute, her senior year, she decided to go back to Bethany. So she lived with a family there. And then my next older sister, Rhonda, went to Central Christian, which is down in Kidron, about an hour south of us. And again, she lived with a family. I don't remember her coming home very regularly, but I guess probably at least once a month she would come home on the weekends. But she basically boarded again with a family there. I don't know if that was just her senior year or junior and senior year. But I was very involved in, as you might expect, music at school. In high school, I was in the band and in a singing group, and I just didn't have interest in going away to high school, a private high school, so stayed put.
What instrument were you playing?
I played clarinet.
And how did that come about? You got to pick?
Yeah, in our school system in fourth grade, you could choose an instrument. And at that time, I knew I was going to need to have braces, and somebody said I couldn't play clarinet with braces. And so, of course, that's what I wanted to play. And it worked out. That's what I played.
With braces.
With braces.
And you also play the piano. I know that about you. What's that story?
You know, my parents were always very dedicated to all of us having the opportunity to play an instrument. And my older sister got to get lessons from the pedagogy department at Friends University. So I would say Janelle's the most accomplished of all of us in terms of playing. And we just all had lessons. We always had lessons. And I don't know how mom and dad managed to pay for that for four daughters on some of the salaries they earned, but it was a priority for them. So we got them.
So is it safe to say that you always had a piano in your home growing up?
Yes. I guess we must have had one in Elkhart, but I just don't remember it. But I do remember the one that, you know, we had once we moved, and I don't remember where mom and dad got it, but it was a nice upright Yamaha, and it was in good condition. I think they bought it used, but it was a very nice instrument.
Tell me about your very first job where you earned money.
Oh, I think it was a very short term. I was waitressing somewhere in some little podunk place. It didn't last very long. And I don't remember why it didn't last very long. Maybe I didn't like it. I don't know. But then I got a job at JCPenney. I think that's kind of my first real job. And I was working in the fabric department back in the day when JCPenney had a fabric department. And that would have been in my senior year in high school. The fabric department was right next to where they had the records department, and that was 1977-1978. So I heard a lot of Saturday Night Fever music for hours on end. But it was a good place to work, and I got to come back and work there during school breaks, although they did move me to the boys department, which was kind of a joke because I had no brothers, and I thought it was pretty funny that they put me in the boys department, but that's where they put me, so that's where I worked.
And fabrics, I'm glad you mentioned that, because those of us who know that you are also a quilter. So did you have interest in that from your mother or grandmother? Where did this interest in fabric and sewing and those kinds of things, quilting, come from?
Well, Mom was an accomplished sewer. She sewed very well, and she would, I mean, we took back then when I was in junior high, you took a basic sewing class, but I could go home and get just as good a lessons from Mom as I could from a teacher. I have not sewed clothing for a number of years. And in fact, I tried to sew something not that long ago, but I was like, oh boy, I don't remember how to put a zipper in the way Mom showed me. And she had it down to a science. And she actually also made my wedding dress, which was no mean feat because it was with Thai silk. And so it's not easy to work with. So
Thai is in Thailand silk.
Yes.
The money that you earned at these jobs, did you get to keep that, or did you need to give some to the family or the church? Or
no, that was very much my money to do with what I decided to do with. The agreement my parents had, they wanted us to all go to college. That was kind of an expectation. You will go to college. But the expectation was that you'll pay for half and they would pay for half. And any scholarships I got, that went to my half. Any money I raised, you know, through jobs, that went to my half. And they paid the other half.
So would you say that that's what you did with the majority of the money? But if you just wanted to go buy something, what might you have bought in, say, those teenage years?
Probably clothing. But the one thing I got, because of being in the fabric department, they were closing it out during that time. And so I got a reduced price sewing machine, which I had for up until about 2 years ago. I had that sewing machine and it finally gave out, but it lasted me a good long time.
So you said that you planned to go to college, and I'm guessing you did. What's that story?
So I went to Goshen College. I'm not sure how I got the idea in my head, but I wanted to do music therapy as a profession. And so I was thinking I would go to Goshen for 2 years and then go on to the University of Iowa, where they had a music therapy program. I never made that leap. I ended up getting a music education degree at Goshen. And so, yeah, that's the degree I ended up with.
At the time, did you have any idea at all what you were going to do with that degree?
Well, I presumed I would teach. And I did teach for 1 year. And then I would have figured it out sooner. But classroom control is not a forte of mine. So, and it's really difficult when you're with kids who are beginning band instruments and everybody's playing at the same time and you're trying to keep chaos in order. So it was a good learning experience, but I found other ways to use my music and art. And yeah, so I'm happy with the way things went.
So what came next?
After college? I moved back home for Tim and I were getting married in July, and we both finished in school in December. And so I moved back home and we got married in July. I got a job temporarily at an eyeglass place. I was working in the headquarters, more in the office area. And then we got married in July and moved out to Salt Lake City. And that's when I got my teaching job.
Where did you and Tim meet? And you are married to Tim Monicum, let me just say, of Portland Mennonite Church and Oregon Public Radio fame.
Yeah. So at Goshen, he started Goshen in January after I'd started in September. He came kind of a semester late. And we ended up meeting in the music office at some point. We were both working there and we had kind of shared split shifts or something. And so he would come as I was leaving or something. That's when we first met.
And where is he from originally?
He was born in Thailand. His parents are from India. So he's Indian descent, but born in Thailand.
And was he living in the States before he came to Goshen College, or did he come to the U.S. to go to school?
He came to the U.S. to go to school. He came to the U.S. in December, landed in L.A. with stayed with some friends for a couple weeks. It was nice and warm. And then he came to Chicago on a January day, and it was 3 degrees or something like that. So welcome to the U.S.
And you said then after you got married, you went to Salt Lake City. What's the story there?
Yeah, Tim had gotten a radio job working for a classical radio station in Salt Lake City. So he was on air there. And so that's where we were. And then about a year and a half after he was there, the station was bought out and they changed formats from classical to rock and roll. And so we started looking for other places to be, and he got a job in Columbus, Ohio, working for a public radio station at Ohio State. And so we moved to Columbus. We were there for about a year and a half and got tired of that stint. And he had an opportunity to move to Portland and flew out on a day like today where it was perfectly gorgeous and it was, you know, miserable in Ohio. And he comes out here and it's just fabulous, sunny, and everything's in bloom. And he was like, we're moving. So we moved. We came in April of 1986.
So it has been almost your anniversary month.
Yep.
So did either of you have any connection with Portland? Did you have family here or know people or anything?
I did not have any family here. Shortly after we said we were moving out here, I found out an aunt, uncle, and another cousin were moving, not to Portland, but to Albany area. But at that time, no one else was here.
So what kind of work had you been doing in the interim?
After we got to Columbus, I was working for a nonprofit arts organization that ran the Ohio Theater. So they booked events into what would be the equivalent of the Arlene Snitzer Concert Hall. They had just renovated it, similar to what was happening at the Snitzer. So I worked for the Greater Columbus Arts Council and the Ohio Theater. Worked as a receptionist there. So when I landed here, started looking for something in the arts organizations and ended up working for the Portland Youth Philharmonic. I was there for 4 years working in their office. That was a good fit. It was really fun.
And at some point you had some children.
Yeah, I did. 1988 and 1992, two boys, and kept on working.
So it's obvious from your earlier story that you've just told us that you grew up a Mennonite.
Yes. My dad was a Mennonite pastor. Both my parents were raised in Mennonite families. My mom's dad was a pastor also in northern Minnesota. So she was kind of surprised that she was marrying a pastor because she was kind of had sworn off of that. But, you know, you don't always pick who you fall in love with. So there you are. Dad had grown up initially in Missouri, then moved to Filer, Idaho. So I have extended family in Filer and Mennonite heritage for sure. Yep.
And just for people who don't know, what is your maiden name?
Miller.
When and how did you find Portland Mennonite Church?
Well, Tim did that. So he had flown into Portland for this interview with the radio station. It was more of a formality because he didn't want to just say he'd take the job without seeing the area. But he was anxious to get back to a place that had mountains after living in Salt Lake, you know, and being in Ohio where it's pretty darn flat. And it happened to be, I think it was Easter weekend somehow. And he went to a Good Friday service. And right as he's walking in the door, he runs into Lynn Egley, who similar age as we are, and Lynn glommed on to Tim, and I think he invited him back over to their house afterwards. It was a Good Friday service of some sort, maybe a Monday Thursday style. I'm not sure exactly, but we connected with Lynn and Roberta right away. So we had somebody to, and then there was other young people. Galen and Karen Nussbaum were around at that time. They're a little bit older, but same age group roughly at the time. And then after we came, there are other younger couples our age that started moving into the area too. So there was a cohort of us after a while.
So you were aware that there was a Mennonite church here in Portland before Tim even came for the interview?
I presumed it, I guess, maybe. I don't know for sure. I think he had called around, and at the time, John Hashjoder was at Peace Mennonite, but John said, oh, we're leaving now. And actually, when he called Portland Mennonite, the pastor there was leaving also. And so he was kind of like, oh, what's going on out here? But it was just the way timing was. And so Ralph Lynn came shortly after we moved. We came in April, and I think Ralph came in August or September that year.
So you are what I would consider fairly long-term members of Portland Mennonite Church.
Yes. Yeah.
What kinds of roles have you filled in your time at PMC?
I've been on the worship committee a couple times. I've been a Sunday school teacher a number of times. Song leading, prelude. I was on the shipmate committee back when we had shipmates, which is a program to pair up teenage kids with adults, kind of in a mentorship, big brother kind of, big sister kind of thing. What else have I done? I was on this committee that selected Rod for our pastor. I've been on the remodeling committee twice now, the sanctuary one and then the lower level one. I'm active in Dorcas right now. I've been on the Montessori school board.
So it might have been easier to ask what you hadn't done than what you did. I was pretty sure it was a pretty long list, so I was right. Thank you for that. Talk a little bit about this quilting group. You mentioned Dorcas. It's Dorcas Needles or Dorcas's Needles?
Dorcas's Needles and Stitches. Mouthful. You'd have to ask Joan Imhoff the real history of this, but my understanding is it started with a group that wanted to do quilts for Mennonite disaster service, and that morphed at some point to doing comforters for Mennonite Central Committee. There are also, about the time Pam Gilman got sick, there were a group of us that got together to create a quilt for her, and then that group kind of continued on. And so there's a hand quilting group also that meets regularly to hand quilt quilts for Mennonite Central Committee for auction. So I'm active in that group.
And what have you been doing career-wise since you've been in Portland?
So I mentioned the Portland Youth Philharmonic. Then I went and worked for just a short time at Hewlett-Packard. Got that job via Lynn Egley, actually. It was a temporary job. And then I had an opportunity to work in the cardiac transplant office at OHSU for 2 years when Ray Hershberger was there. Ray Hershberger was a former member of Portland Mennonite. So I worked there for a couple years and then had an opportunity to go back to Hewlett-Packard. And at the time, Peter was very young. He was less than a year old. And I would get like an hour and a half back a day in my day because I was commuting by bus to OHSU and that took 45 minutes to an hour both ways. And it made it for an 11-hour day away from home. So it was just when I could cut the time, you know, considerably, it was better. So I went back to Hewlett-Packard. I stayed at Hewlett-Packard for 16 years, worked mostly, largely administrative roles. And then in 2010, moved to a smaller tech company, working in human resources, was there for 5 years. Then kind of took a break from work, did some part-time here and there. And then about 4 years ago, I landed a job at Providence. And I work in their graduate medical education office, again, doing administrative work. This is part-time, which is perfect for me. And since the pandemic, I get to work from home. So it's a 5-minute commute, get out of bed and roll down the stairs and to my desk. So it's a good gig.
And when you have time off or you just want to go somewhere, tell us something or some place in Oregon specifically that you and or your family really like to go or things you like to do.
You know, we're not good at taking extended time off in Oregon. We do a lot of day trips to go hiking. And that's, you know, Mount Hood, anywhere in the gorge, that area. We do a lot of hiking. Some trails on the coast, but there aren't as many that we've been on the coast. We'd like to take trips out of the country.
Tell me about some of those, especially since, do you consider your family multicultural?
That's a difficult question to answer. I would say no. I would say no, but you might get a different answer from Tim. I don't know. You might get a different answer from my kid. I don't know. So we like doing longer hikes and trail hikes. So Tim and I have trekked twice in Nepal, and we've trekked 3 years ago in the Alps in Switzerland. We have plans to go to Italy to hike this coming year. Those are some of the things that we like to do as we're able until we can't do it anymore. Then we'll find something a little bit more laid back for our vacation times, but we enjoy being active on vacation.
Is there some place in the world that you haven't been yet that you're really hoping to get to at some point?
Oh, there's lots of places. You know, when Paul and Serena were in Peru, we were supposed to go down to Machu Picchu. We didn't make it because they didn't stay in the country, so we didn't go. But then we wouldn't have gone to Switzerland, so it was a trade-off. It's okay. I would love to go to Spain, New Zealand, Australia. Yeah, probably more places and go back to Europe. I just really enjoy Europe. It's old and it's beautiful and mountainous. We both love the mountains, so.
And when you go to Europe, what's your means of transportation? How do you get around in Europe?
Well, you know, we went once for 2 weeks in Italy, and that was all by train. Train. And so that was fabulous. It was, you know, just catch a train. You go to the next place and catch a train. And we did hike the Cinque Terre, but that's, you know, that's just 2 days. And you can do that by train as well. You don't have to hike it. And then when we were in the Alps, we were hiking. So we didn't do anything else but hike. So went from town to town, up and over passes, hiking. And then we went by train, I guess, to a few places. But
so what is it about hiking?
Huh, that's a good question. I just think the physical exertion and being out in nature in remote places that you can't get to any other way. You're away from the noise of cars and, you know, that kind of thing. Where we live, 205 is down the hill and we have constant road noise. You can't, I mean, even in the house, I can still kind of hear the roar of the traffic. So being out in nature when you're away from that is calming, I think, really calming and just creates space and breathing space, I think.
Gail, thank you so much for taking the time to give us a glimpse into your amazing life. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.